There is one person who has worked with Michael Jackson and Frank Sinatra and Ray Charles. He wrote dozens of scores for film and TV and eventually produced movies and TV shows and got megastars together to sing We Are the World for charity. That would, of course, be Quincy Jones, who died last night at age 91.
Before he changed the course of popular music, he got his first big break in a jazz big band. Quincy Jones spoke with NPR's Michelle Norris in 2008. We pick up their conversation from when he was growing up in Chicago in what he called the heart of the ghetto.
Gangsters. Nothing but gangsters. Back in the 30s, it was all I ever saw were machine guns and stogies and big piles of money on the lights.
You saw all this?
That's all, as a kid, that's all I saw. I wanted to be a gangster till I was 11. Are you kidding?
In your book, you tell the story, you say that they pinned my hand to a wooden fence with a switchblade
that's
when I
right.
was 7 years old. Who was they?
What they did they do to is you? Being on the wrong block. If you went on the wrong street and didn't have the right call, you get a switchblade through your hand. I was 7 years old.
And they literally pinned your hand to a fence?
Yeah, and with a switchblade. Now, also, an ice pick in my temple. That's real fun.
They held it to your temple, or did they actually?
They stuck it in my temple.
Oh, my goodness.
Oh, yeah. I got the scar right, but my medal's to prove it.
How did you get out of Chicago?
Capone ran the Jones boys out because they didn't know they were making so much money. And they ran into Mexico, and my dad came and got my brother and I at the barbershop the next day and took us on a trailway bus, no toys, and went straight to the Northwest. He worked in Bremerton Navy Yard during the World War II, and then we went to Seattle 2 years later.
Now, that's where you met up with Ray Charles.
That's right, exactly. Exactly, you got your homework down.
You know, I did my homework.
You sure did.
I knew who I was going to be talking to.
I met Ray Charles at 14. He was 16, but he was like 100 years older than me.
Quincy, my buddy. My buddy. Quite so true.
How'd you meet?
We met, it wasn't like the film. We met up at the Elks Club. The Elks Club is where we all went after all of the paying jobs, whatever they were, whenever they came. That's where we went to just play bebop for jam all night for free.
Musically speaking, you've bridged so many genres and generations also. I understand that Lionel Hampton was the person who gave you your big break. I want you to tell me not just about Lionel Hampton, but also about Gladys Hampton, because I understand
Gladys,
she stayed on top of you.
She was beautiful, absolutely beautiful. I was very upset, though, when I got thrown off the bus, because I really wanted to go on the road. That's just all I cared about.
Thrown off
said,
the bus?
Honey, what's that child doing on here, Lionel? She said, honey, get off of this bus and go back to school. We'll talk later. And I sat on the bus for 4 hours, so they wouldn't change their mind, and boy, it didn't happen.
Tell me the story.
At 15 years old, he saw a piece of music I'd written called Sweet for the Four Winds. I didn't know what I was doing. He wanted to hire me as a trumpet playing arranger, and I just jumped on the bus. I didn't want to tell my parents or anybody. I didn't want anybody to change their mind, because it had been my dream to be a member of a big band. And Lionel Hampton at that time was bigger than Duke Ellington, a Basie, and Louis Armstrong. They all worked with Joe Glazer at Associated Booking, and he was the number one band. He worked 300 days a year, you know. And it was the most exciting, educational, learning experience I've had in my life.
So you went back to Berkeley to study music. It wasn't called Berkeley at the time.
It was the Schillinger House of Music. That was a Russian mathematician. My teacher said, because you're going to learn everything everybody ever did with the 12 notes, from Stravinsky to Elvin Berg to Duke Ellington, everybody. I spent 28 years to hone my craft so I could write any kind of music. And I learned so much by working as a conductor and arranger for, you know, Billy Eckstein and Ray Charles and Peggy Lee with no pressure on me. And in those days, we didn't care about money or fame. We couldn't care less.
The music super producer Quincy Jones in conversation with NPR's Michelle Norris in 2008. His publicist says he died Sunday night at his home, surrounded by family.
Woman needs man, It's still the same old story.